What about for those adults? Velocity. All right, kids. Hang on a minute now, kids. At what speed are you travelling at the moment? Go on, what speed are you travelling at the moment in miles per hour? Nothing. Actually, in the UK at the moment, even if you're standing still, you're moving at about 600 miles an hour. No, they said. Can't be. I told you that around the equator it's about 1,000 miles an hour. Would you work it out what I'm talking about? No. The world spins around once a day, doesn't it? And if it didn't, we wouldn't have day and we wouldn't have night. You know, if it did, wasn't a little bit wobbly on its axis, we wouldn't have summer and we wouldn't have winter. You know, so actually, there are lots of things that we have that we just take for granted, which we don't recognise. And I think of the next one as W, and I think that's going to be another one. W. Water. Yeah. I need a drink. If we didn't have a drink, we'd all die. If we dry quicker than not having water, then not having food. Okay. What about X? Now we're going to need to challenge you ones, aren't we? Go on. X-ray. You mean seeing what's going on? No, I've got somebody here prompting it. X-ray. Medicines. And they're fantastic. In this church, we believe in prayer and medicine. And at this point, I'd like to ask somebody to share a bit of testimony they did 2 or 3 weeks ago, but actually quite a few people weren't here to actually hear it. So, Rachel, would you kind of give us a quick testimony?
So, some of you that were here a few weeks ago will have heard this, so I apologise for the repetition, but it's all already. So, in February, I was diagnosed with cancer, and they estimated the tumour to be about 12 centimetres long. And through prayer and medicine, and X-ray, when I had the surgery, I found that all cancer had completely gone. Not only that, but I made a journey that I was going through, and there were 6 people that I had in church and temple, and of the 6 of them, 4 of them had also had the same complete response.
And what Rachel said at the time was that actually for one person to have it go was fairly rare. To have 5 out of 7, well, yeah, somebody's got to be thinking about things. We believe in prayer and medicine. We would never do prayer without the medicine side. Why is yellow I've got here. Actually, look at all the colours. Yeah. Look at all the colours around us. Isn't it good that God isn't a one-dimensional or two-dimensional? You look at all the colours. Banana yellow. Actually, I didn't give up this. Here's one of my little brothers. He's been out on holiday and he's got suntan. Yeah, not quite as yellow, is he? Anybody want to rather use banana? Sorry, not used. So slightly more mature banana. Well, alright, okay then. Some people just don't go for it. Oh yeah. Would you go for one that actually wasn't actually quite so mature? Anybody want a banana? Oh. First 2 hands up. Youngsters, you're too slow. Yellow. You look at the colours of this season of the year as things change and just think how wonderfully bright it is. God has not given just one gift. It's so much we need to have for. And lastly, Z for zebras. Yeah. I couldn't think of anything else either. Somebody told me that every zebra is marked different. That was the man that told me. Zebras. Yeah, everyone is different. every one of us is different. And God knows us and loves us. He doesn't think, actually, that Bernard's a bit too mature. He looks at the inside. He doesn't look at the outside. He looks at the inside. And even if we are not perfect, yet a bit mature, got a few wrinkles, and it might not be quite as good as it was, He still loves us. He loves us whether we are a 6 foot banana. And He doesn't stop loving us when we've got problems. You know, He is our brother. So, let's just take a minute to thank God. Perhaps we could actually just close our eyes and just think of something to thank God for, and I will just say thank you, God, for it. And then perhaps you'll just shout out one word, one name, something to be thankful for. Might be a person, might be a thing. And then we'll go back into another song before Chris the Carrot comes to talk. Okay? A new chair. Oh, right. Okay, you can say that in a minute. Yeah, oh, she already has. We were asking about that last week. Another answer to prayer. So, let's just go close our eyes and thank God. Thank you, God, for...
Say, just call out God with us. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for all the things you give us.
You used to just remember them when they were in season, and we remember them because of that. But now, because they are so common, we take them for granted too often. Forgive us that, and help us always be thankful. But thank you most for Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.
My carrot costume is slightly too big, which means I have to hook it on my head. It gives me a carrot quiff. I even had some jokes come to me as I was actually walking up here. I'm going to try them out. I was running a bit late and Bill said, chop chop. And that grated on me a little. I fancy myself as being Tim Vine. Even Vine is a harvest related subject. I don't think I can do this whole talk dressed like this. I can hardly hear myself. I actually mentioned to my dad, who's been a preacher since he was in his 20s, I'm making my preaching debut on Sunday, dressed as a carrot. And he said, I will not be doing that. So bear with. I'm going to talk about the subject of perfect, imperfect, and keeping the harvest theme with these vegetables, which I'm sure you'll agree look slightly different to what you'd say a normal vegetable looks like. There's all sorts of weird and wonderful shapes there. And hands up who has heard of the TV chef Hugh Fearnley Whittingstall? Well, last year he did an expose on the amount of fruit and veg that is wasted in the UK. You might have seen it. And hopefully, here he is. Yep. In front of a mountain of parsnips. And there's something like 20 tons of parsnips there on just one farm in Norfolk that has been consigned to the rubbish dump because they're not pretty enough, according to the supermarket. In the UK, every year we throw away tons and tons and tons of perfectly good food because it doesn't meet these crazily strict standards. On the picture there, there's 20 tons. That's enough to fill 300 shopping trolleys to feed 100,000 people. And over the course of a year, it would be 4 million portions of parsnips. That's a crazy waste, and I love parsnips. Roast parsnips! We might even have them for lunch. I tell you what, if you parboil the parsnip, cut into strips and then fry it in coconut oil, just think if you did that to all of them. And Hugh said that this huge pile of parsnips, he said most of them are absolutely fine. He would happily cook with them as a TV chef. And these days, with genetically modified crops, we're trying even harder in the quest for perfection. And what does that mean for these guys? I mean, the carrot in the top left is looking far smarter than I did. He is at full salute there. And the aubergine, I don't know whether he's a friendly aubergine or whether I should be terrified. I'm not sure what the yellow kind of curved fruits are, or vegetables, but I think they're in love. And I feel really affirmed by that strawberry. I think he thinks it's good so far. That's good. And the carrot next to him, he's a confident carrot, strutting his stuff. The carrot below him, I'd say, is a catwalk carrot. That is, that's a pretty carrot. Let's not go there. Guys in the middle you might recognize. I don't know what you would think if you tucked into a salad and they were looking at you. And I like to think that the carrots in the bottom left is a grandpa carrot with his arm around his grandson saying, "I grew up in that field over there." Which doesn't quite work because I'm sure they're part of the same crop, so they're the same age. But so these are some examples of what we might call rather imperfect vegetables. They're actually the vast majority of vegetables that don't meet the supermarket standards aren't wonky or bent or bruised in any way. They just don't meet these crazy strict standards. So we've got quite a problem with imperfect vegetables. Now, I think this actually rather reflects our society a little bit, doesn't it? We're certainly made to feel imperfect quite a lot. There can be constant pressure to look good or to conform to some standard. And our media constantly shames people having a bad hair day or if they've made some kind of mistake. We feel we're not good enough. Or maybe we'd be better if we had this or better if we had that. And we can beat ourselves up for failure. And we live in quite a cynical age. People are quite cynical and quite negative. And we can fall into that trap and we can be quite judgmental of other people for their apparent failings. So I'd say, really, we're all rather imperfect vegetables like these guys on the screen. So what happens when you bring God into the equation? Well, I would say actually initially it gets rather worse. So the Bible in Romans 3 says, what about us? Well, God says there is no one righteous, not even one. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Oh dear. So basically God's standard is complete, utter, constant perfection. And who meets that? I haven't met that just today. So we're in a bit of a pickle, aren't we? So what's the answer? Well, any of you who have been to Sunday school and in panic yelled out the answer when put on the spot, you will know the answer is always Jesus. And that's the answer to J in the alphabet. If no one's put that yet. So Jesus, as the Bible would agree, he says all the promises of God find their yes in him, in Jesus. And more specifically here, it's the cross. So he's the answer to everything. He's the only one who was actually perfect. The only one who could meet God's perfect standard. He was and still is. And so what did this perfect man do? He actually gave up his life for us. He took the punishment for our imperfections. He stood in our place, in your place. He was your substitute, the perfect for the imperfect. The 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And put a bit more simply in the Message translation, God put the wrong on him who never did anything wrong, so we could be put right with God. That's amazing. If you believe that Jesus did that for you today, your punishment has been taken. How incredible is that? You are free. And the gospel is often called good news, is what it means. And it gets better. So not only did he take our punishment, but our old, sinful, imperfect vegetable self actually died on the cross with him, which is quite a concept. But the Bible says we are a new creation. Romans 6 verse 8 says, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. We're a new creation. That old, imperfect, slightly, or rather misshapen vegetable died on the cross with him. And we are seen now as perfect. Through Jesus. God sees us as perfect. That's just mind-boggling. So now, no matter what we look like, or how many times we fail, or whatever people say about us, we can remind ourselves, if we're a Christian today, that God sees us as perfect. Now, you might say, well, hang on a minute, I don't feel very perfect. There's evidence from this morning, or yesterday, very much so, that I am not perfect. And I would agree. I am a man. I, therefore, am not very perfect. I even talk too much as well, which is normally aimed at the ladies, so I'm the worst of both. So, yes, I don't feel very perfect. And the Bible says, yes, there will be regular signs of imperfection of that old creation. But, again, it's good news. Because 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory. That's happening right now in us. We are being transformed from one degree of glory to another, it says in another translation. So God, through all the circumstances in our life, when you hear people say is working things together for good, it's so that we become more like him and more increasingly glorious through our lives. And not only that, but he guarantees that he will finish that work that he has started. So Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Just think about that. Each person sitting here today who knows Jesus, that's what he's doing in you. You never need to give up hope, because he promises he is transforming you with ever increasing glory. So if you're a Christian, that's what you have right now today. If you're not a Christian, this is what's on offer right now today from Jesus. And the gospel is good news, as I said. I mentioned Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What's the next verse? But it carries on that same sentence and says, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. And you might have heard of the verse Romans 6:23 that says the wages of sin is death. While the rest of that verse says, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what harvest means to me. There's a harvest in me. There's a harvest in every Christian. But God planted that seed and it is growing, it is blossoming until it becomes an incredible harvest crop. So I'd like to summarize by using the word harvest as an acronym just to reinforce what I'm saying here. So here we have the word harvest. So H, he loves me. Now this applies to every single person in this room, in this town, on this earth. I want you to say this after me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Woo! And because he loves me and loves everyone, anyone can come to him. You might be sitting here today thinking, well, I can't. You don't know what I've done. I've got colleagues who say, oh, Jesus wouldn't love me knowing what I've done. I can guarantee he does. Anyone can come to him. For God so loved the whole world that he gave his own son. R, receive. So because he loves us and he delights in giving, we can receive his free gift of salvation, of eternal life with him, eternal relationship. And the emphasis here is on receive. So we don't work for this, we don't earn it, we don't deserve it. He gives it to us. What we have to do is receive it. The price for it was paid 2,000 years ago on the cross. V is for victory. On the cross, Jesus defeated sin, he defeated death, he defeated the devil. He set us free. So we are victorious in him. We can see victory over our past, we can see victory over anything that holds us back in life. We were at a conference where one of the speakers was saying, it's like you videoed your team playing their football match, and you know what the score is, and you know they win. And then you can watch that match. And your team might be 2-0 down. You might have had a player sent off. But you know what the end result is. So it doesn't faze you. You're okay. And that's what we have. We have won already over everything that holds us back. Over sin, over death, over the devil. E, everything for good. God works everything for good for those who love him. Now, that's not for our comfort necessarily. That's so that we would become more like him. So everything that is happening in our lives, he is more powerful than that, to work it together for our good, to be more like him. Why do we want to be more like him? Because it's incredible being like him. He's eternally happy, peaceful. He has the ability to trust without cynicism. He knows it's awesome being him. That's why he created us, so he could share it with us. And if you imagine all that fruit and veg, however imperfect it looks, all of it has had to go through the same stuff. The seasons, the sun, the rain, the light, the dark. And all of that has been essential to produce that crop. And that's what God's doing in us when he's transforming us from one degree of glory into another. S, surrender. This is one that God is really challenging me on at the moment. I'm someone who likes to try hard to get results. With God, it's about surrender. Because he loves us, because he's good, because he works everything for good, it means we can trust him. Faith doesn't come through striving, it comes through surrender. And the more we surrender, the more we're a willing vessel for him to fill us up. And the process of him filling us up is incredible. And then it overflows. And then it becomes blessing to other people. How are we going to change this town if we just try hard in our own strength? How are we going to bring hope, restoration, healing, and good news to people in this town? Well, by surrendering to God and letting him fill us up and overflow, and then his goodness is what comes out of us to other people, and that's what changes lives, brings people hope. And I get to be part of that. And then T, thanks. Obviously, we come here today to thank farmers and food producers for everything that they have toiled through the year for us. And we thank God for his provision in all of it. But even more so, we thank God for the harvest in each one of us, that he has offered us that second chance. For us imperfect fruit and vegetable type people, he has given us a way that we can actually be loved by him forever. So he provides all we need in the physical, and he provides all we need for eternity. So I want to leave those words on the screen there, because if you're a Christian today, this is completely true for you. Just meditate on that. Just think about that. If, as you go through the week, if you can remember any of that acronym, just repeat it to yourself, because that's truth. And whatever the devil throws at you, or whatever you do that you think might spoil that, it stays true. If you're not a Christian today, and I just urge you to look at that. Is that appealing to you? It when you're going through life, when life gets a bit rubbish, that all of that could be true for you. Well, that's on offer today. So if you want to talk about that afterwards, if you want to pray with anyone or just ask us more questions, come to someone dressed as a fruit or vegetable, or to anyone else who's part of this church, and we'd happily talk to you. I just want to pray. Lord, I thank you for this incredible truth that you love us. That anyone can come to you. Your arms are open wide. You created us in the first place to be with you. And you want your children back. And Lord, I thank you for this incredible good news. That this is available to everyone here. I thank you, Lord, that we don't have to worry and fret, because you've got our backs. You've won the victory. And we are in you. We are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Lord, encourage each one of us here today, Lord. Lord, speak to us and let us leave today with hope in our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.